This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. Why are people fucking visiting people?
Yeah.
I know we're all tired. We're all so fed up with this bullshit. But Friday's numbers in the airport of travelers, 1 million+ people traveled in through airports on Friday, which is like, because no one's traveling right now, is like a massive record for the pandemic. And it's like, come on, guys. Like, just come on.
Nope, this is going to be one of those things where, like, this right here is probably as good as it's going to get for anybody doing any type of precautionary things. Like, even if they come back in all of the states, are like, fuck it, we're shutting everything down and there's no bills for anyone. We'll fucking sort it out until there's a vaccine, right? Like, people will still find a way to move and congregate to other groups of people. They're like, we're close enough, so we're in the same vicinity, you know? But it's like, I don't know, you guys have never watched Dominoes Fall Down then, huh? Mm-hmm. You know, it, whatever.
Right.
But this is what it's like. This is as good as it's going to get. There's never right, going to be anything better than this until there's a vaccine. And it's essentially like, everybody's going to go out at this rate to do what they need to do. And like, I get the people that have to travel for work or whatever, you know, maybe you're like, just your job doesn't let you do any type of telecommuting, you know, not saying that it's not an option. What I'm saying is like, your job just physically, there's no fucking way you can do it and you have to go to another state. Right. I get right. that. Cool, you know, necessity type thing, whatever. But yeah, uncles and aunts and grandparents and anybody that's just like, I'm going to go see my friend or family, shake my finger at you. Right, you right. know, like.
Well, and it goes back to something you said earlier. It's like, this is as good as it's going to get voluntarily.
Even if, like I said, even if they shut America down.
You are correct. Yes, but even the shutdown, you're voluntarily staying in your home. You are not under penalty of a crime if you leave your home.
Right. There's just no way they can enforce that.
There isn't. I don't know if there's enough military to enforce that. No, because we'd have to have military. You have to have military.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're good, yeah. If you were at a point where, like, that's why I always laugh at martial law.
Right,
because it's a joke. Well, it really is. Unless you were in, I don't know, fucking 1890 America, and it was like, I have no one near me for fucking a fortnight, right, or some shit. Yeah, then obviously you take off the bad sheriff or whatever, you know, you sort your fucking town out, kind of thing. But like, when people
sort your town out,
yeah. But like, when people are like, yeah, man, we're going to have martial law and, like, just no, what you're going to have is an armed militia that then the police force are going to go, yeah, we got to shut that shit down. There's no fucking way we're going to just let random citizens drive around governing other people, because all of a sudden Tom's apple tree that's been growing a little too fucking far there in Pleasantville
like
is about to get his
HOA.
Fucking brains blown out or arrested. You know, like, it'll never happen. Because even if you did that and you were like, we're shutting the world down and we're issuing the military personnel would be like, if literally 99% of America can't do anything, then like, why the fuck Do you think I'm going to just do a 9-to-5 of stay in your house, stay in your house, stay in your house? Like, that is, yeah, it would be different if they were like, we sent the military to Chicago or something, right? Like, we sent them to one area because for fucking whatever reason, goddamn mayhem just is happening, right? Like, that's the only way that military kind of thing would work, but... Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it would be, I'm not saying it could ever happen. I'm just saying that you're right. You are, I'm just trying to agree with you. Will you give me a fucking break?
Yeah, but it's like you agree with me and then you find like a reason to, like an agreement is just like, yeah, man, I agree with you. Like you don't need to like back it up with a counter type argument that may like, well, he'll probably find a reason. That's why I'm agreeing with him. So he'll just like keep making me agree anyways.
No, see what I do is unlike you, which you will do here, I'm sure, in a few minutes time, is when I respond, I try to give you more than a 2-fucking-word answer. Hey, man, what'd you think of it? It's all right.
That's what I feel.
I know. That's my deep, heartfelt advice. It's all right.
I don't know, man. It's like I feel like you can wrap up anything and like it was awesome, it's all right, or like no, when it's just an overall like feeling. Now if you want like to talk about the scenes or like come to the shit, well, I got stuff to say, but
if you ever want to overall me
on anything, it's gonna be like yeah, no, or yeah, it's just fucking cool.
You've given me the gift of gab from this podcast by being able to be like, oh, he's going to leave it there? Great. Now let me go ramble for 20 minutes while he goes, yep, no, that's not cool. I was like, why are you here?
I'm telling you, dude, I am the dude in the radio station where there is like the host, but I'm the dude that is the quintessential hype man, basically. Like, just I'm there to like fill it in when you bring it, like when you talk about something that actually requires a second person to speak on it, you know, it's like yeah. But for the most part, you could just monologue this whole fucking thing. Like, I'm just kind of here because I like talking to you and I do like this show, but like, you're the Trek dude. Like, at no point am I going to offer any kind of Trekkie input. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's very true. The number of hours I've had to correct you or educate you on Trek and nerdisms.
Like, we're really working within like a limited range of just what I can give for this show.
You're right. You really are kind of pushing it a little bit. Well, fine. And let's just get started on it now, since I know you just watched it and it's fresh in your head. Because I'm not really sure. There were some good aspects of this show, things that were needed and addressed, and stuff we had talked about in the past, actually, about this show and where it needs to go. And there were some other things that were just kind of like, you know, the show has a lower rating on IMDb than the rest. I think of the ones we've seen so far, this one kind of, I didn't super enjoy the Trill one that much. The Trill homeworld episode as well. So I'd kind of
far better than the Trill episode.
This one was better than the Trill episode. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I definitely did not like that episode, but I probably wouldn't put this one that low. I'm with you on that. We start out with the brand new refitted Discovery, and in fact, so Discovery NCC-1031A. So they've done enough to it to go, we're gonna give it an A. So usually in Starfleet and in the past history of movies and shit, when your craft gets destroyed, the next one that's built that's named it is given the A. This is the first time that I can remember that it's just been like a refit has given it, you know, a new designation. But that was kind of cool that they like,
yeah, but I guess when you're like 200,000 years or whatever in the fucking future, like pretty much every, like they were like, we even tried to design some of the shit to like your dumb simple mechanisms, like the way so you could get used to it for an easy upgrade transition, you know, like, yeah, right. they basically the only thing that was left with that ship when it was done was Stamets thing and the fucking name. Like every other thing on there was just a complete gut and rip out and put back in. Like even Stamets says it when he walks into the thing, he's like, everything's in disarray, you know, and I know she's working, but it's like her doing the upgrades for everything in the area, you know, yeah. Like, yeah, it was like someone getting a Model T and they were like, okay, we need you to make it a supercar. And they're like, what? Okay.
Like, yeah, don't worry. Our techs made it look like a TI-81 calculator, yeah. But really it'll fly into the fucking moon. Don't worry. Like, it's fine. Like, we made sure the programmable matter dumbed it down for you. Yeah. So you'll like, will adapt early enough.
Yeah. Basically the ship now is at the point where like retro comes back. You know, like, we're right, like the 70s style, like, wood or something is in the ship because it's just,
yo, man, cool. It's got tail fins, baby.
Yeah, like, it's cool.
Right, exactly. I like that Detmer's, you know, Detmer has her issues this season, and she's like, do we really need all these upgrades? And dude in the back's like, hell yeah, we do. As he's like fucking with his screen. He's like, this is fucking
dude,
great.
The one thing when he moved it, when like, because you know how they always do the like touch the fingers together to like open up whatever communication channel shit it is.
Yeah.
Like when he trailed and there was like all of the goo just left behind, like as it's moving through, I was like, cool. So you guys just like put a built-in mouse delay on like everything this motherfucker needs to read. Like anytime he moves his hand. Awesome. Yeah, I get it. It looks cool, but no one was like, this is practical.
Only him. Cause it all like reads. And I need them to like, they did a lot of like exposition on programmable matter, how it like reads your bio signs and reads your bio.
Yeah, I get like, it. He's probably getting the info like in some kind of crazy new way where like technically visual is not the only thing you need to see, but I don't give a fuck. If I was there having to look at it all day and that shit trailed every time I moved something, I'd be like, someone give me the Aereo button to unfucking click. I do not want animated windows. Like, God damn it. Leave me like, the fuck alone.
You don't want LSD trails as you move your hands across the screen?
No, because knowing me, if I made it somehow to that far in the future, I got like that kind of shit on like a permanent functional drip. Like into my spine. Like I don't need it anywhere else. I am maintained at the most suitable space relative high that is allowed. Like I would just be right there all day goddamn long.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it off to maybe shower. That's it.
all of them with their new comm badges. It was pretty much like handing like a 10-year-old your smartphone for the first time. Tilly's just like, ooh, oh, and it's like just they're all just like keying it up, messing with it. It's cool that it's like communicator. It's your just system interface with the computer for research and shit. It's your transporter. It's your tricorder. It's all that shit like built into that one badge. That kind of makes the away party a little bit easier since it's like, here, just take this. You're fine. Just throw this badge on. You're good to go. Everything you need is right there.
What do you think of the badge?
Just you mean the oval with, you know, the domed out oval looking thing? It's
yeah, like when they were clipping that on, like I was like, this is like buying buying the really nice toy and then having like the one just like stupid shitty accessory that's like probably the one thing you wanted, you know? I was like, ugh.
Sorry, I know you said something, but I happened to get up. So this is the old type, right? I'm holding up an old Discovery badge.
Yeah.
While they look fucking cool, I can imagine that like the corners would snag on shit all the time when you were fucking around because there's corners hanging off your shirt. You know what I'm saying?
But again, like that badge isn't going to be made out of programmable matter, right? Because it does like 9,000 functioning things. So... all I'm saying is, with all of the cool programmable matter things they've already done, the badge actually just being like put in a penny press and fucking flattened out like that, and then the cool like everybody lined up and we're gonna show them all putting them on was just like a, I don't know, I stuck a plastic hanger hook with the glue strip on the fucking back of it. It was honestly, for me, who's not even been all in this world for that long, I was disappointed. I was like, there was no art to it. Like, there was every other badge is a like badge. You know what I'm saying? Like, it looks mm-hmm. like it's a badge. It's not just something that we clipped out and pressed together with a picture in the fucking middle of it. And it just was like, I get it that it does a ton of cool shit, but did no one in Trek Land Kingdom ever was like, hey, there's a tactful grace to this, and this isn't fucking it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's definitely the first time you've seen. I'm scrolling through all the old badges from, like, future stuff all through Star Trek in the past. And, yeah, it's the first time you really see one. I mean, it's really just an oval with the image on it, and it's domed a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit. Now that you've pointed it out, it is a little bit
Like, it would be better if that was stitched onto, like, the actual suit. Like, it was mm-hmm. built into it. Then I could see, like, why it was done that way, right? You know, because it's just better. It's harder to stitch something in crazy fucking angles or whatever. Or, like, that was the one that was on the one when they're outside of the spaceship walking around fixing fucking things or something, because it's domed and you can kind of feel it a little better or whatever, right? But, like, yeah, this half-ass, like, hey, I'm going to my first fucking arts and craft fair shit and I'm going to sell fucking paper clothes hangers, or, you know, the wooden ones with some googly eyes on. Like, it was a goddamn googly eye. That's what it fucking was. That's what it is. It is a oval shaped fucking googly eye that they just stilled the shit in the middle and put a little fucking Trek emblem. Oh my god, that is exactly what it is.
Now that will never be out of your head. Now watching the show, now it's not gonna be out of my head either. Yeah. It would be cool if they could almost, like, within reason, reshape it how they want it. You know, you want to throw back to old school, you want to go a little bit crazy with it, but, like, it could, you know, it can only be so big type thing, because it's programmable matter. It'd be cool if each person, if it started to take a shape that,
yeah,
each
it was
person
like, it was like an avatar, right? You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Because it's their badge, like, and that shit don't tell you what fucking rank you are. So it would be kind of like,
I think that does actually. I think there is. I think I was looking at the one of them.
I just don't know how it could, because everybody's is the
there
fucking
was like pips
same.
On the side of it. Yeah, like not on this one you can see, but down this side, I think on the old badges there were pips.
Well, I mean, I'm saying on this one, like, everybody's shit's the same, and they're all like distinguishing by like fucking collar and like the color of their shirt or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't know. It was a shitty badge design. Like, I was like, I looked at it and I went, I honestly kind of hope there's a little bit of uproar about this.
I kind of hope
no one should be accepting of this badge.
I kind of hope they, if they're going to give them, since they refit the ship's got, you know, everything is updated when it comes to, you know, 39th century, whatever century we're in. I'm hoping that they get, that why not just go to the new uniforms too? Maybe next episode, I don't know. But if you're gonna give them new badges, I mean, I understand the
they'll stay in the old uniforms just because
it saves money on the budget.
Well,
for the
that, but it's also like they're in, but they're not. And even though that they're in, they are the most unique thing, and they are the only ones that are on that ship. So, I mean, honestly, them having different uniforms from every other person, like, bouncing around in there makes perfect sense. It's like, oh, you're fucking Code Black team. Got it. Whatever, right?
And that is a great segue, sir. It's almost like you planned that. So the next thing we see is Saru and the Admiral and everybody standing around getting their orders for the day, like, who's in trouble, what needs to, you know, hand out mission logs. And let's just bring it up that nobody has been briefed on Discovery yet, and they've been there 3 weeks. So everybody, at least everybody at that table, was like brand new to hearing about what Discovery can do. And it's been there 3 weeks getting retrofitted. And I'm like, so you're just not telling anybody about this strange ass horse and buggy that rolled in here 3 weeks ago that you guys been working on since whatever.
No, I mean, it seems like unless you're someone that he trusts, you know, on almost on a personal level, if it is information that is not required for you, you will not know it.
True. And like I
and it like I like he said, because what did he say? Like, we're, you know, our ways of diplomacy just aren't really cutting it these days, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, no, we don't have time for exploration anymore. We're not. We're
no, no, no. In this episode, when he was talking about how they're basically at war.
Okay, right, right.
You know, he was like, you know, diplomacy just isn't. Basically, he's like, it wasn't used to be. Like, we just can't fly around and go, hey, man, you guys want to be cool? Hey, kind of nerdy scientist dudes. He's like, we got to fucking, like, swat some flies, you know? Like, go actually...
fight people.
Yeah, fight shit nowadays. And, like, honestly, though, his whole argument with why Discovery couldn't bounce around was the most asinine thing for basically a time-traveling ship. Like...
agreed.
So... you're telling me I got a 12-hour window where shit may pop off, but at any moment in my travels, I could just stop and go bounce back over here, and I'm there.
Right.
Like,
right.
It just is. No.
Here, let me put it in like today's terms.
You could do hey, both
boss,
things.
I can work from home and still be doing my job. You just got to hit me up on the IM, baby, or like fucking FaceTime me on our, you know, Skype, baby. Like, mm-hmm. I'm working.
I mean, the only
just because you don't see
the,
me.
Yeah, and the only thing I could see that would cause the problem with why they couldn't go is because of the long-distance relay.
Correct. And, well, okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Did we talk about this last week or not? The subspace relays. We talked about this. I remember maybe Kim and I did. My wife and I talked about this last week after we recorded. The first thing Discovery should be doing at all is jumping to every subspace relay, or at least as many as they can, dropping off a dude with some rations and a fucking programmable matter kit and fixing that shit. So you could talk to everybody in the fucking in the universe now. Their biggest problem right now is they're cut off because they're only able to scan so far and speak so far. And the subspace relays lets everybody talk. And the fact that they're gone means, so fucking fix them. That's Discovery's entire job right now should be like repair delivery. Like, take a guy from this century who knows what he's doing, drop his ass or a team of them off at a subspace relay, hop to the next one. Just hop and start expanding your communications array, because you're right. Communications is pivotal and what they've been missing as Starfleet for so long.
Yeah, but it's also like at this point, how long have... okay, it's one thing just say Discovery go fix all this if it had just happened. But the fact that they've been down for quite some time and you obviously already have like warlords that are ruling sections of space and have like fucking just human indentured servants and no one can seem to stop that, like... just getting up space comms through all the planets, all you're doing now in a way as well is allowing the bad guys to communicate an even grander fucking way.
Well, I don't, I'm not an expert on subspace relays, but I'm assuming there's a way to make them work like any sort of, like a VPN tunnel, like only Starfleet can access it. You know, only we can talk to we type thing.
Well, I get like that. I'm just outside. Saying if you get them up and running, those bad guys are either going to shoot it down or they're going to go try to hack it because now it has power to it. And they're going to, you know, they're going to do it. So it's kind of like, well, if I can, my core's here, so I got to clear out this whole round of scum first, then get that relay set up, clear this whole next round because now my quote unquote Trek army is getting bigger with each clearing as I go out. But like, mm-hmm. I don't think you could just, because I don't think Trek has even the manpower. Like, I think, you know, like, because you saw all of those badges.
By Trek, you mean Starfleet, right?
Hmm?
You're saying Trek. You're meaning Starfleet, right?
No, I'm just saying Trek in general, like, as just fucking all of it left, because it's not even a fleet anymore. You know, it's not like they're out and there's just this group. It's like, dude, we got maybe 12 ships on a good fucking day, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So I don't. And you saw all those badges that Michael picked up. So there's most certainly, even if they fixed all the shit, there's a whole lot of just dead people. They're not there anymore. Right. You know. Right.
Yeah. Agreed on that, on that aspect. Absolutely. Her. Okay. So let's see. So we talked about the refit. We talked about them being at least brand new to the guys who were there at the table that day. Which honestly, it could have been guys who had just gotten back from some, as you saw, like people head out on 2 month missions because they're traveling at sub warp speed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So these folks aren't traveling at warp, so they're just tooling around, taking 2 months to get somewhere for a supply run.
Yeah.
So it may just have been the captains who were there that day learning about them. You have the joke that starts at the beginning with Linus beaming everywhere wrong. Which kind of paid off in the end. That was kind of a cute. That was kind of a little funny joke that kept happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you knew after you popped in on the bridge, you're like, oh, we're gonna see you at least a few more times.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get the hail from Bookship, and it's just Grudge, which is awesome. That it's just Grudge on the monitor. That was hilarious, and. You know, we find out that he was like, hey, I'm going to go check get this black box for you, and then I'll come back. And then it was like 3 weeks ago, so he definitely, like, took no time at all to get in trouble.
Yeah. And, yeah. Well, he said, if I'm not back in 24 hours, the ship's coming back to you, so.
You right. Take care of my girl. So Burnham, so let's talk about Burnham this week. So... She's done. I don't know if she's done with Starfleet. I mean, it kind of had that like feel at the end of the episode when like she took the comm badge off and was like, you know, crying and took the comm badge off. But I don't know if she's done, but she's definitely done asking permission from anybody to do anything. And honestly, I understand Saru's point of view to a certain extent as a captain and as someone in control, but she's been there a year. Like, you guys literally showed up like less than a month ago, and she's been tooling around doing it on her own for a year and hasn't had to deal with asking permission. And either it was his mistake to appoint her as first officer right away,
or... Well, yeah, no, I mean, that's most certainly...
Like, definitely the wrong choice.
Yeah, like, you could be, hey, cool, man, it's awesome, super sweet to see you, but again, as soon as she said, I have been here for a year... There is no way you can expect to meet the same person off from the last time you met them. Like it, well, like the vibe may be there, right? But there's still a different human, especially one that was put in a survival situation. Not like somebody that just went away for a year to Wisconsin or Canada or some shit, right? Like, oh, you came back with a funky accent. No, like you adapted to a whole new life.
Let's face it, she's never been one to just snap to the rules if she saw the right thing to do was not following the guidebook. She's never been that. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. We're talking about someone who's like the first mutiny in Starfleet in however many hundred years they've been, of, you know, when she first did it on the Shinzo. So, I mean, she's never been... This change, especially given her that year to like to show her that there's more out there than Starfleet, that she's tried, and yes, okay, she let's not put aside the fact that she saved all of sentient life in the universe and galaxy by doing what she did, but she's never been Starfleet material, not really, not when it comes to being rank and file. Don't question, because we're not really, we skipped over like the TNG era of like where you could like have a disagreement with your captain in front of people and like he'd pull you aside and say, let's sit down and talk about, you know, what's going on here, we'll try to figure out what's going on. No, she's still back in the no, it's fucking my way or there's no way, it's life or death out here in space, man. Like, so she's never been like, let me just fall in line and do what I'm supposed to do type person, ever.
Well, no, but I mean, I don't know, like, any quote-unquote hero or heroine that is, right? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, anybody that saves the world, right? There's always right. that, well, there's the rule, And then there's the way to save everybody, right?
Right. I guess I shouldn't say it. It's not a detriment. It's just she needs to stop kidding herself. She needs to go off and do her own thing and do what's right, or work out some sort of system where, like, hey, like, look, I'll be your black ops guy. Like, you need something to happen off books, hush hush on the low low. Like, I'll do that for you. Because if you have someone who needs to avert the rules to get it done, I mean, it's kind of funny that we watched Lower Decks before this, because I have a really good idea that, like, Burnham and Mariner would get along really well. Like, really well.
Yeah, yeah, no, they would be doing all kinds of
the greatest team ever, yeah. Right? So, I'm not surprised by her actions. It was a cool little, like, you know, cat and mouse, let's go rescue the guy from jail type thing. That I did enjoy the aspects of that. The whole, once we got down to the area, let's talk about that for a little bit. We get more into Giorgio's issues. What do you think is happening to her? You had some ideas last week about what you thought she was going on with her. We see a lot more now with the flashbacks. So what do you think is happening with her? What's your theory?
I think we're witnessing whatever made Giorgio the way Giorgio is, right? Like, I think we're going to find that Terrans weren't always like, I'm going to fucking murder you if you sneeze, like a weakling, right? It was probably a pretty decent little place. And then we keep getting this flashback scene, and I'm pretty sure that's her kid, and probably everything around her is dead by some kind of invading army or something like that, and it's you're gonna witness her becoming her, and like, but I think she kind of being so locked in that dog eat dog world, it was compartmentalized and left alone, right? Because there was no time or room for it. But now that she's, one, away from it, two, it doesn't exist, and three, she's kind of with Michael, and I mean, obviously everybody else in the crew, but let's face it, she's gotten to like just about all of them in some way, shape, or so. I think really what's happening is
tolerate,
you know, if you want to put it that way. But it's kind of like when you have the cantankerous old man that somehow like hates everybody, but you get along with, like, that crew is the only people. And then there's like layers within that crew. Right. But everybody else is like, I don't care if you died right now. That's mm-hmm. like still where they're at. But yeah, I think we're just kind of watching her soften up a little bit because of not being in that crazy kill zone all the time. I still don't think Homeboy with glasses did any kind of crazy hocus pocus to her. I think you're kind of seeing like how she helped Michael, but she tried to play it off as a, oh, you're going to break the rules, I'm going to do it. But she was kind of poking at Michael for falling in love and things like that. And it wasn't the cold, like, shoulder kind of picking. It was the, like, you have fun when you know something about someone and you're trying to get them to like admit it and stuff like that. It was a very, I don't have my guard up moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she can always sound tough, but like when you watch her character, like, it's just like the way Michael said, you know, before, like, I rip your head off or choke you or something, like, she was having a hard time containing the smile, like, at the end of it.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, that was hilarious.
You know, but like, so you could tell they both were just two friends being there. But then when she had her breakdown again and Michael like came over to her and was like, look, what's up? You know, like, basically, hey, I love you. You know, like, we can help each other. Like, she did what most people do. Like, as soon as they're like, I could do the right thing and open mm-hmm. up and probably get all this taken care of. But it is amazing how quickly I just built this wall to say, fuck you. So I'm going to go step back behind that real quick and like throw everything back up.
Right. And I like where you're going with a lot of that. My problem with it is that there's still something physiological that's like something that is causing her body to actually like shut down. Like, she's becoming immobile during the fight scene. It happens during the fight, and, like, Burnham almost doesn't make it out of it because of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like that trauma is...
It's just locking her up.
Yeah, it's like it's been locked away for so long. You know, I mean, it's essentially Frankenstein and fire. Like, she's fine, but something has happened, and I think it is... Whether she realizes it or not, I think it is just her realizing that not everything is going to kill her, like Michael said. You know, not everything is here to murder you. And when you start letting the dam crack, it's very hard to plug it up, you know, like whatever it is. I mean, we've all done it. Like, we watch a Disney movie or some shit with our kids, and there's like tears that are just like welling right there, and you're like, he's not crying. Why am I like, I gotta, you know,
don't
like,
feel alone, man. Well, that's what's the best of us.
Well, but that's what I'm saying though. But like, for that moment in time, like even on that, like the dumbest moment, you're kind of locked up because you don't know what to do. Right. You're like, do I just let it out? Let my kid know why I'm crying, even though they have no comprehension of it, you know? Or is it like, do I save them asking me why I'm crying? And like, but you get stuck in that moment. Right.
Right.
Obviously, whatever is going on with her was a huge moment. I'm pretty sure it's her son dying. And it's just like, every fucking time.
You don't think it's as easy as the other Michael from the other universe dying? I don't think it is either, if you don't. I don't think it's the other Michael, because she said that the other Michael died in her thing. I don't know if that's who she's seeing.
Yeah, but I could have sworn she said a name, and one I could have sworn when they panned like across the person quickly, just quickly, one, the skin tone wasn't like remotely the same. I don't recall, and like the hair, I could have swore I remember seeing like black hair, but it was like a man's, more of a like office cut, you know? Like, I just don't know how you could get Michael's hair to do.
Well, according, yeah, well, I know what you're, why you think it's her son, because what she was screaming, but according to the subtitles, she was saying "san" as in like Kori-san, like what Japanese tack on the end of names when they're like familiar or family or something. I forget if it's, I think it's just like really good friends or something like that, but it wasn't son, but I don't know, but it could be. Family, and I don't think it is the Michael from the other universe either. So it's definitely something we're going to hopefully get an answer to. And I don't know if the physiological aspect of it is because she's been in three timelines now, two different universes, and her body is just so out of rhythm with this timeline because she's also jumped into the future that it's just shutting itself down because it's just not able to handle it. I'm sure we'll dig into it more. I'm sure Cronenberg will get back into it. The guy with the glasses from last week. So I don't know. There's definitely a lot more there than they've led us on to. And without going frame by frame on the flashbacks, which I have not done. We know it's, I'm 99% positive something to do with the mirror universe, because I think flashbacks.
I mean, I think obviously anything with her flashbacks are going to be in that universe. Like, why?
Right.
You know, like, she's only been over here for basically like 2 years.
She had some time away. Yeah, and she had some time away from the Discovery, it was definitely something else in the mirror.
Yeah, anything with a traumatic experience most certainly has to come from that universe.
Yeah. Right. Let's see, what else? So the black box, so we had the whole, Giorgio was able to, like, outbully the guy that ran the place that was running everybody. You had these folks who were just scavenging on old starships that weren't destroyed in the burn for parts, things like that. You got to see, there's a bunch of Easter eggs hidden in that working camp. I know that Burnham picked through a box of comm badges, like the old like TNG style comm badges. One guy, the first thing the guy picked up to offer Giorgio was a burnt up Type 1 phaser from like Next Generation, like the curved looking phaser. That was kind of cool. a couple of the ships they were using for like observation, the ones that like Georgia blew out of the sky at the end of the episode. Those were some different, some older style ships. Actually, some of them were like too old to the point where I'm like, why don't we see like something from the TNG DS9 era? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the old ones, because they were probably already decommissioned and didn't have active warp drives. Those are the ones that still were like whole, which probably makes a little bit of sense. That's why there just seems like to be really, really old type vessels that are still out there. But the whole plot there at the store, you know, at the thing is fairly simple. Get in, get book out, get the black box if they can. The guy that played the Andorian with the cutoff antennas, the blue guy, that's Mary Wiseman. That's Tilly's, the actress. That's her husband playing that part. And no. Of course he's an uber nerd. Mm-hmm. You can just tell because he's an uber nerd. Like, so apparently this was like the time of his life. And it's cool he didn't die at the end. Maybe we'll see him again. Maybe he'll pop up now and then as well. But so he, and actually I found out that Andorian's antennas grow back. So like the mutilation they did to him isn't going to be for good. So that's nice. But, you know, that was an interesting story plot. You know, the fence with the explosions and the you know, the head popping neck. I mean, that's a trope you've seen about every other futuristic movie you ever watched with a jail involved, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we're going to install this.
Stallone was in a movie, or Schwarzenegger was in a movie like that as well.
Yeah, Running Man, right?
Well, there was Running Man, but then there was one other where it was like a legit prison, and they had like the collars, and it wasn't a game show or anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe it was like...
Like Escape, where they were like trying to break out of a prison, that one? Newer movie or older?
No, it was older. But I'm trying to remember if it was like one of the like B-class like action guys, like a Lorenzo Lamas film or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right, Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, but I don't like. But Dolph was huge though. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, it wasn't. I could see it being like one of those weird, like actiony like Stallone movies. But not one you remember really, because he, like, you know, like, because like probably like Time Cop or something came out not too long after it, and that's what like trumped it.
Right, right. Yeah, we're definitely going to.
But it
hear
wasn't
more
like
from...
Lambert or like, you know, the dude from Highlander or somebody like that. It's like
Lambert. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. we're definitely going to hear more about. So we kept hearing about Osira, who's the one that was like the leader of everybody who was there, and the guy who was running it was the nephew of this person, the nephew of her. Her name is Osira. She's part of the Emerald Chain. We already heard that the whole reason that the Discovery is being held back is because of the Emerald Chain was the negotiation had broken down with them. So that may end up being more of our big bad of the season, because we don't really have... We're right now, there really isn't a big bad right now. We're more dealing with what's wrong with the burn, what caused the burn, that kind of stuff. So I'm interested to see who Osira is.
I imagine now it's probably going to be something as simple as like they're the ones that caused the burn.
Well, we're getting close, because she's got 3 black boxes now, and she also found out that all of the ships didn't blow up at the exact moment. At the same time, so at least she can speculate there is an origin point of whatever caused the explosions to happen, that it radiated from somewhere. So maybe she'll get a chance to figure out where that is in the near future and triangulate with these 3 ships that she's got the black boxes from. That is, if she's able to do anything after this episode, because she's not number one anymore. That lasted all of one... one sweet, sweet episode of her being in charge, you know. And it kind of threw us a little bit, because last week when she took out the Discovery on her own, she was all about that command. She was barking orders and was right on the ball for everything to happen and that needed to happen last episode. And this one, she's like, I don't need your fucking rules. Like, my friend is in trouble and I'm gonna go save him, and it's bullshit. You guys would help me. And honestly, you know, at the end, the Admiral was like, if you had come to me saying, hey, a guy I know who helped all this happen is in trouble, and I could get another black box. He said something to the effect of, like, it probably would have warranted the trip for the Discovery to go get him. But you didn't come to anybody. You just went off on your own on your little unsanctioned mission. And, you know, I always like how
it just sounds like you have it. Like, it's like you secretly, like, you say you like Michael, but it's like she is part of the Trek crew that you like. And since you like everyone else, you're like, I'll tolerate them, because the way you talk about her shit is the way you talk about the one friend you don't fucking like when they're not around.
Hey, look, all I'm saying is that I don't know what they're trying to do with her, and you could have at least gone to them with the information. But I'm also one who's like, you know, I'm all about, I'd rather beg forgiveness than ask permission. Like, I don't need you to tell me I can't do it, and then I'm going to go ahead and not do it. I'm just not going to tell you I'm doing it. When I come back, I'm going to say, I'm so sorry. Please, mm-hmm. please don't, you know, I understand that. And so I don't. That's why I just need her to figure out what she's gonna do. And I also. I don't think I'm a fan in Star Trek storytelling of she's always been billed as like it's her story, which I understand that, but it throws me for a loop, because then you're hanging on everything that she does. You're judging, and like I'm doing right now, like I'm hyper judging what she does because she's the center point of this whole story, and I can't judge.
I mean, like, that's like every captain though has been the center for every story of Trek, because like, yes, they have their crew mm-hmm. and everything, but at the end of the day, like, if you asked anybody what each version of Trek was, I guarantee you everyone would say Picard, Kirk, and then, like, fucking whatever Stargate's dude name was in the show. And, like, you make
Sisko and Janeway.
Yeah, and, like, you may get, like, like a fucking, and, like, Riker. And then you'll get a Spock, because they're the other cool fucking dudes. But at the end of the day, like, every one of those shows centered around what that old man in the chair felt like fucking doing.
Correct. Okay. To a certain extent. I think as time went on, the ensemble became more than okay. Like, the original series, Kirk all day long. Like, it's whatever Kirk wanted to fucking do, we're doing. And honestly, that's more on the actor, I think, than the writing. Like, I think he made sure he was included in every single thing that happened, and got pissy bitchy about letting anyone else have a spotlight. That's a William.
Oh yeah, Shatner. I mean, I'm not saying like Shatner wasn't like stealing, but at the end of the day, I mean, even like Picard in that show was a little more branched out across the people. Yes.
And I think as time went further, and
yes,
as time went
yeah,
further,
and because it was on for so long, so like mm-hmm. again, we're not even really that far into this show, and basically the first two fucking seasons were just to get us where we're at now. So it's like really, right. This is season one for
dude,
this show.
I saw somebody today who said this right here should be Discovery season one episode one. This episode right now.
Because I mean, I could, like, yeah. I mean, I could see that too. Like, if you really wanted to pick a spot, like last episode or this mm-hmm. episode would have been where you could say, all right, if you want to go back and like when this is all said and done, like if you really want to start it in an order, I guarantee, like, one of these episodes
start
could be one
showing up at Starfleet,
could be right here, and then go back and watch episodes. Or seasons one and two. Because I feel like it's going to tie somehow. You know, not like maybe a full loop, but one of those things where, like, if you do watch it in that order, it actually makes it better kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know? But, yeah, I mean, also Michael seems to be the only one in the show that's like, I just don't know why, like, Trek hasn't gone looking for black boxes. Like, while they're doing their shit, right? Like because to get the ships that they have now, there had to have been scouts, there had to have been rescue parties, there had to have been something, and like nobody in this whole fucking empire was like, we need to gather the data from these ships. Everyone just went, ah, fuck, I guess all the dilithium went off at the same time. We're just going to take that for what it is. No one conducted research on that. Like, it, I mean, it literally took Michael just fucking dropping out of the goddamn time to go,
right, one year, hey,
we should go find these things, and then maybe if the data says something different, we could analyze the data and look at something. Like, right. It has to be about her because no one else is fucking thinking the goddamn shit she is.
valid point, sir. Valid point. That's true. So does that lead us to think that no one's been digging around for Starfleet black boxes? Because do we still think Starfleet has something to do with the burn? And they don't, finding those would only point to them further.
I mean, yeah, I think so, but I don't, like, I don't think it's the, I think for all of the things that happened, there was a mole within the fleet, and it was probably some kind of cell that built up a little resistance. And honestly, like, now that the name, like, Osiru becomes a big thing, it somehow wouldn't surprise me if, like, that was really, like, a quote-unquote Trek rebellion. You know,
maybe
kind of thing.
But let me ask you a different question. Did the Admiral have his speech to Burnham all down at the very end of the episode? But when she started talking about the burn, did he start to get a little squirrely? Did you notice he was a little bit like, I'm not gonna make eye contact, I'm not gonna give anything away that I know deeper? Do we feel like he knows more than he's letting on?
I think he does. I think that standard line that him and, you know, cool dude with the glasses gave of, we have our theories. I think there's probably two or three that are 1A, 1B, and 1C. And right, it really all depends on what information comes about. But I think Trek is so far now gone from exploratory unit to essentially like clandestine operations against the Osiru and, you know, whoever may be controlling the east side of space, you know, whatever, right? Like,
yeah, they're duct taping a dam with that. They're duct taping a dam right now.
And it is one of those things where unless you need to know it, you don't know it, you know, and really, he seems to be right here, the only person at his level. And so I'm more like, who's the man behind the man? Like, I think he's one of many, but I want to know who, like, the five are, right? Like, who are the five people in Trek that are, you know, essentially, like, the Navy Admiral, you know, the Army General, and, like, just who is the war unit that sits up for all of these groups? I want to know who that is, because I think Michael's going to meet them. And, like,
You think she leaves the ship for a little while?
I don't think she leaves the ship, but I think Michael is going to be allowed to do some of the things Michael needs to do. And I think maybe her crew will essentially, to keep everybody in the same loop, there will always be something that happens where Discovery and, like, homeboy ship both need to be there for whatever reason, kind of thing, right? Or, you know, we may get a little bit of this. Michael is going to go be put on the Black Box mission, so we're going to get kind of story A and story B, which is cool. Like, that makes perfect sense, right? Like,
yeah.
If we're going to make Michael, you know, the renegade heroine, then let her go do it, right? Like, don't make every episode of, like, her breaking the rules and then everybody going, oh, Michael, you know, kind of thing, right? Like,
I like that idea. I like, if Saru is smart, Saru says, look, we all know this is important. Book's here, you're here, you guys have already found three. go do your thing. Go do some more research in the burn and report back when you have some more findings. And do what you need to do, because you're not going to rest, and you're definitely not going to listen to any of us until we figure this out.
Yeah, and
I like that idea. I like that idea.
And I think that'll happen when the information that she finds from these boxes, because she's going to be the one that figures it out.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Of course, she'll be the one that figures it all out. Okay, so to wrap our episode on a high and wonderful note, let's check in with our favorite couple, Stamets and Culber, who are having still a fantastic season of nothing bad happening to them. In fact, good things are happening. Adira is able to redesign the interface for the spore drive and remove the shunts that Stamets had in his forearms, much to the pleasure of him and his husband, which is awesome. Stamets is warming to her and
it's
accepting
cool. It's cool that you get to see like a new Stamets, right? Like, he's still the kind of uptight, like my butthole's puckered because I like things a certain way, dude. But that like arrogant asshole part of him is kind of like gone with it. It's just like, I get it. You like shit a certain way kind of thing, right? But when he talks to people now and stuff, like, you get to see his like building back from being the lowest of the low, right? Like, he understood
things are going good for him. He's able to like let his hair down a bit.
Well, yeah, and like, I think he realized too that the way he was is not good for really anybody in general. Like, basically he's kind of become a hippie, but he's just a really smart smart guy with it too at the same time. But like, he's all about this, we're all indifferent, but we gotta like embrace each other thing, right? You know,
you've been dealing with mushrooms your entire life, you should be this chill a long time ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like it finally all caught up with him and settled in. He's like,
right.
Yeah, I see it now.
All right. Be relaxed. Be cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah, but we still got the stupid ghost thing going on, and that's going to drive me fucking bonkers. Yes, dude, because first of all, if homeboy is going to be here, do something cool with him. Like, make his hair change color every time he's on the fucking screen. Like, because it's whatever, right? Like, no one knows what it is, so... Also, stop just making him there to be a third person, like, laughing audible track and a, like, dumb repository of, oh, I said something, now she gets to repeat it. Like,
yeah,
give it a fucking use. There. Like, if you're going to be a ghost, give the ghost a use. But what we're doing right now is just having an awkward triangle for no fucking reason.
Right. It needs to... Yeah, we've had the acceptance of the fact. Now we need to dig into why she is... Because this is an abnormality in Trills. I mean, at least in what we know and what they know of Trills is that, like, well, yeah. Stamets said, you're supposed to have memories, not, like, the apparating soul of the last person who was in it.
Yep, and the one thing that kind of got me is, like, Stamets saying how he, like, you hold on. And I was like, man, if this is, like, a Trill, like, passing, you know, kind of thing, like her long goodbye.
You're like, I didn't tune into CW, goddammit.
It is fucking pointless. Like, why even have the character then? There's no need for that. Just let him die, let him transfer, and like have the moment right there in the episode where the human took on a Trill for the first time. Go us, because we're fucking the shit, and we'll obviously work with anything and everything in space all the time. And right. Like, have the goodbye right there. But there's no need for her to be doing all of this blatant interaction and then not be used. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when he pops on the screen, make his hair a different color. Like, throw him in some crazy ass clothes. Like, make her go, why are you looking like that? Make questions happen. Do fucking something. But like, right now it's just like, hey, I'm pretty, I'm androgynous, and
right.
You need to make friends.
Yeah, it needs to be Yeah, he needs to show up like in his outfit needs to reflect whatever her mood is or something. She's not really recognizing.
Like, yes, at least make the motherfucker a human mood ring. Like, goddamn, dude, like something. But what we're doing with this invisible visible object is stupid.
It's gonna get old quickly unless they progress.
It's already old. It was already old. The horse has been kicked. The horse was fucking burnt and fucked. It is done. Like, it needs to go away super fast.
I stand corrected. Well, let's see what happens next week on all of our favorite folks. Tilly got to play with Grudge. She had a funny moment.
She's exactly like me with cats. Like, I don't like cats. I don't trust cats, but I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to hurt you, cat. But like when she looked under the bed and was like, that would be me. I'd be like, hey, come on out. Like, I ain't going to hurt you. Like, but I don't like you. Like, we get that. But I need to get you out from under here, you know?
Right. We didn't talk about Michael and Book's kiss, which was.
Yeah, but we kind of knew that was coming with all like getting picked on about like. You said love. No, I said live. No, you said like, love.
No, you did not. Yeah. Yeah, so we shall see how that all turns out in the next few episodes. We are almost halfway. I guess next episode will be the halfway point, really, of the season. So we'll see what episode 7 has to show us. Everybody who found us new last week or just found us again, thank you for listening. And everybody who makes it to the end of the podcast, we love you guys the best. And until next week, live long and prosper. Yeah, I've never done that before.
I was gonna just like say bye and shit, but that one got me off guard. Y'all are the best. See ya.